Welcome to the Vinyl Crawl, weekly podcast about vinyl records and beer. I'm your host, Alan Miller, here with Matt Peppercorn. Hey, Matt.
Hello.
So on this episode, we are, let's date this episode as well so people know.
Shall we? It's
August 2nd, and we're less than a week from when Tyler Childers played a epic concert, pop-up concert in Cave City, Kentucky, which is just a hop, skip, and jump from both of us. Probably maybe a hair closer for me, but
yeah,
kind of in our backyard
at Dinosaur World. Yeah,
to promote his new album, Snipe Hunter, which just came out a week ago.
25th
of July.
Yeah.
To pretty good fanfare.
Pretty good fanfare and a kind of strange promotional tour for him.
Yeah.
Doing Dino World and the sandwich shop in Nashville.
Yeah, this is his second pop-up show that he did. The first one was downtown in Nashville at a sandwich shop. Do you know if there was any like reason in particular that sandwich shop?
Not that I have seen or read.
Yeah.
But
I know that the fan club, which if you're not a part of his fan club, definitely sign up for it because they send out all kinds of wild and crazy stuff. But his, and it's called Hickman Holler, I think.
Yeah.
Holler Hunting Club or something like that. Definitely sign up for that because they send notifications out right before they do these crazy shows.
Yeah.
I think the Nashville one, they sent it out an hour ahead before he set up and played.
Got a little bit more of a ahead on the Dinosaur.
Yeah, the Dinosaur World, you had about like a 4 or 5 day heads up.
It was on release day.
It was on release day.
They sent it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yep.
And a little inside baseball for me personally is I've got a coworker whose husband manages Dinosaur World. So I was getting a little bit of the inside baseball.
You had the inside scoop.
I was getting just a little bit. I mean, shout out to Nicole because she's the best and her husband Chris. But I know they were keeping everything really well under wraps because she knew about it. I heard it from Matt first. Matt had texted me about it. And then I went to Nicole and was like, what is going on with that? And then she filled me in on it. So I think they were doing their due diligence to try to keep it as far under wraps as
possible. How long did she know?
I know there had been talks for a little while with like the owners and managers and whatnot.
Yeah.
I know Tyler has come out and said that, you know, ever since he saw the giant dinosaur on the side of I-65, he's wanted to play Dinosaur World, which
it's freaking brilliant.
It is. And like, I mean, geographically speaking, if you're traveling between, let's say, Louisville and Nashville on I-65, when you get to Cave City, which is kind of dead center between those two, when you get to Cave City, you'll see a giant...
See a damn dinosaur.
A giant dinosaur on the side of the road, which my wife's parents affectionately call it Tigersaurus Rex because it's orange. It's a giant orange and black striped dinosaur.
And that's where the stage was.
And that's where he set the stage up. They came in the day before, set a stage up. They sold 500 tickets to people in their fan club. Those people came in from everywhere, and it was like just an hour and a half of just playing the most. Yeah. I think, according to our friend Jeff Whitson, they played all new songs except for maybe one.
One or two.
Yeah. So just a full promotion of the new record, which that bums me out even more that I didn't get to go because I'll get this out of the way first. I don't love his older records. And I've had a hard time coming to terms with Tyler Childers over the years.
It's not for lack of trying.
No.
Either. I'm kind of in the same boat, too. I probably like him maybe a little more than you do. Just because I've listened to some of those records, and I like them. They're great for playing in the store, too.
Sure.
I mean, you know, that's perfect in-store play. But I always kind of had a little problem with his vocal style.
Yeah.
On some of the older stuff.
Well, and also like with his vocal style, it's very reminiscent of East Kentucky. Like his singing has that, and the lyrics have always had very like homespun lyrics about where he's from. And
every album up to this point has had some type of theme or a loose theme. And this one seems to be the first one where it's just hodgepodge or
yeah.
anything goes type thing.
Well, before we dive into the new album, let's talk about the beer that we're drinking.
Let's do it.
Which, shout out to our buddy Jat.
That's right.
Who hooked us up with these. It's the Founders Mortal Bloom Hazy IPA. Citrusy and tropical notes, 6.2 ABV. It's a hazy India Pale Ale. Is it seasonal? Do you know?
I don't know.
I don't either. We've seen it on tap.
I don't think it is because I see it around a lot.
Beautiful can art.
Yeah. Yeah.
Flowery, very reminiscent of what they're describing. For a hazy IPA, pretty light.
It is pretty light. Yeah. And not overly hazy.
No.
Either.
It, yeah, it's fairly see-through. Like, there's not a ton of haziness to it. But it tastes good. I think it has a good flavor. Very light flavor. Very easy to drink.
That's the 6.2 coming through.
Probably really nice for a summertime beer.
Yeah.
If you're out cutting the grass.
Perfect on a day like today.
Very true. Very true. And it's tasty. Like, it's a good, tasty beer. Worth a try.
I would say if you see it on tap, grab a pint. It's better on tap.
I feel like it does have a lot more flavor on tap than out of the can. But good beer, solid beer. Enjoy it. Thanks again, Jat. So, Tyler Childers, let's go back in time a little bit with Tyler. Since he is an Eastern Kentucky guy, he's somewhat loosely considered a local artist for us being in South Central Kentucky.
Yep.
What was your first introduction to Tyler?
Well, the first introduction I had was probably at the Americana Awards in 2016.
Okay. And what album would he have been?
That would have been
Purgatory.
Purgatory.
Okay.
Yeah. He was very new to the scene. And that's when I was actually working the Americana that year.
Right.
And so my job was to check in every artist that came in, grab their paperwork, get it filled out, get it turned in, essentially so they could get paid the whatever the musicians union
their contractual thing. Payment.
Yeah. So he, and I guess his manager maybe, could have been his best friend that was his manager at the time. Who knows? You know, it was like 8 a.m. and they walk in the back of the Ryman and I introduced myself and we chatted a little bit and I mentioned Bowling Green because he's played Tidballs here.
Well, and actually Tyler went to Western.
And he went to Western.
For like a semester.
For a little bit, yeah. And he also has ties to Morgantown too.
Oh, okay.
Because I think he started doing songwriters nights with Adam Williams.
Oh, okay.
Possibly, I think. I think I'm getting my story straight.
Yeah.
So we chatted a bit, and I explained the paperwork, and he was like, "Okay, I don't know."
Yeah,
he just... like he didn't know, and he was probably like still half, you know.
He
asleep.
Was, yeah, and he was also, it's very well known at that time period that he was a bit in the weeds as far as on substances and whatnot. He's been very open about that. Been sober for a few years now, though. Mm-hmm. Like, he has been sober for a while. But at that point in time, specifically the Purgatory era. Also, to add to Purgatory, was that the album that Sturgill Simpson came along and helped him with?
That would make sense.
Because I know Sturgill either produced or helped him make one of his albums. Because those two guys are from very close vicinity from each other.
Yeah. Yep.
Which Sturgill Simpson, another Kentucky guy that I think most people know now. He's had a long enough career now that most people have heard of him. Tyler, you know, he's still not a household name. Even though he's got such a rabid fan base. Pun intended. Ha. He's not a household name yet.
He might be after this album. You think that this will do it?
Well, I think it should do it.
Yeah.
But I will say I still talk to people fairly often that don't know who he is. And don't, like, specifically with the Cave City show, if you looked online when people were like, oh my God, Tyler Childers is playing Dinosaur World, there was so many people going, who's that? Who's that? Who's that?
That's, like, and that's so wild, especially with that being a lot of people from around here going, right, who's that?
Right.
But his fan base was driving to that show from Mississippi, Florida.
Oh, there were people that flew in from New Mexico to that show.
Crazy.
There were people coming in from everywhere because, yeah, it was his whole fan club that got a chance to get tickets. Yeah. So, and as far as the show went, everything I've heard about the show and all the pictures I've seen look like
perfect.
The most fun you could ever have at a concert. It was at Dinosaur World. Tyler and the band all dressed up like characters from Jurassic Park.
It's great.
They gave out the Nalgene bottles when you got through the door.
Yeah, yeah.
That had a sticker on it that said, you know, sorry we missed you, and had, right, like the Cave City Dinosaur World sticker.
That are going for $300 on eBay right now.
Are they for real?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
The other thing that I kind of really enjoyed was it stayed very local because he had a local company that we're familiar with, Pelicans, before our buddy sold it.
Yeah.
But they came in and gave free snow cones to people. They had, when you came through the door, you got a free ticket for a snow cone.
Yeah.
So you can go to Pelican's truck and get a
What's
free
better
cone
than having a snow cone while watching right. Tyler Childers beside a big dinosaur?
Well, I'll tell you what's better. He also brought up Hattie B's yeah. from Nashville with their hot chicken. So yeah. what's better than standing in 110 degree weather than eating Hattie B's hot chicken?
Yeah.
And then you cool yourself off with a snow
with
cone.
A snow cone.
Yeah. Because, I mean, Hattie B's is also just a staple of...
Yeah.
I consider them local, even though they kind of get... They yeah. get lumped into some things now they because do. Of its Hattie B's. But still, it was a very local eccentric kind of show. It's exactly what you would want a pop-up show to be. Like, fun, silly, quirky, goofy. All of the fun things about it.
And that seems to be his path to... as what he wants to surround himself around.
It does. I think he's seen, or it seems like he's seen what happens if you just get out there and play that good old country music and what kind of crowd that draws and what kind of like, what kind of fan base that creates.
Yeah.
Because, you know, his first few albums are very traditional country. He's got a traditional country voice. He can't escape it. It is his voice. But those first few albums are very... in the vein of like Americana country from, you know, 1950s, 60s up to present when yeah. you're talking like the Jason Isbell,
Sturgill.
And he did Sturgill.
A fiddle album.
I mean. He did a fiddle album, which is wild.
Yeah.
But I think that he's kind of done with that. I get the feeling that he's like, okay, I did those things. I can do those things.
Yeah.
I'm built for those things, but those things don't challenge me like they should.
Right. Kind of a page from the Sturgill
sure.
handbook.
Yeah.
A little bit.
You look at Sturgill, who made a concept album, basically a prog rock album with country songs, like when he did Sailor's Guide yeah. to Earth.
Yep.
And then he comes out and does an anime-based album. And like,
right.
like Sturgill just wants to go everywhere.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any yep. doesn't have any qualms about it. And I think Tyler's doing that same thing.
Yeah. And doing it very well.
He is. I still think even on Snipe Hunter, with it being... as out there of an album as it is for him, it's still pretty well grounded song wise. Like the songs are all very yeah. structured. There's no jams that go on for 15 minutes or anything crazy like that.
No, it's a pretty solid group of songs that make up a pretty damn good album.
It is.
I mean, it's
yeah,
pretty solid.
I know a lot of the. Of the hardcore Sturgill fans from Purgatory era do not care for this album at all. And one of the things they don't care for is the fact that Rick Rubin produced it. Rick Rubin is a famous, famous producer. And you can just rattle off all the records he's done.
Yeah.
I mean, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Blood Sugar Sex Magik. There was
Johnny Cash.
Kind of,
I mean, he essentially probably rejuvenated Cash
yeah.
to make arguably some of his finest music.
And then how many Beastie Boys records did Rick Rubin do? Like two, yeah. three?
Yeah.
I mean, he's known for a yeah. certain style of album that he makes. Like, he's very much
Tom
in
Petty
the, too. Yeah, Tom Petty. Yeah. He's very much into challenging the artist mm-hmm. to think outside of the box of what they've normally done.
Yeah.
And I think that's what he enjoys when he's helping them make a record. And that's why artists go to him, because they want an experience that's not traditional. And this album has that in spades.
It seems like he and Tyler really connected.
Yes.
Got along and enjoyed making this album.
Right. I would agree with that. And I think you can hear it in the album.
Definitely.
You can definitely hear the band enjoyed it. Because the band is, which his band's called the Food Stamps. It's Tyler Childers and the Food Stamps. Which, a fun fact, the first track on there, which was the first single, Eatin' Big Time.
Yeah.
I think that's a play on EBT, like food stamps. I think Eatin' Big Time and EBT is like a play together. If I remember correctly. But there's also a couple of really fun things about this record. There's two tracks in particular that are old Tyler Childers songs that he's never had on an album.
Yeah.
There's Onita, mm-hmm. which is a beautiful song where he's basically, the way he's described it, it's a song about a young guy in love with an older lady.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what he's singing about. And then there's Nose to the Grindstone, which is a very traditional East Kentucky song about, you know, being careful and not dabbling too far into the life of drugs and pills and everything else and sticking to a path of work and whatever. But those versions are very different on here.
They are. And in that was like seeing the lead up to this album. So Onita was the first one.
That's true, yeah.
That was kind of released. And then what they did, some Easter eggs on a video, and it made it seem like, oh, this is going to be older Tyler songs, re-recorded.
He did that. He did a teaser video.
Yeah.
Where they were in a diner or a barbershop. They were in a barbershop.
Yep.
And this girl walks in, and the barber's like, Onita, you're up. So they were doing all of these little teasers to make the fans think he was going old school.
So perfect name for the album, as he was kind of snipe hunting a little bit early on.
Which, if you've never heard the term snipe hunt, it's an old-timey joke where you take someone snipe hunting, and is, at least from the way it always worked in my neck of the woods, it might be different for you, Matt, I'm not sure, but you basically took somebody out to the middle of nowhere and just left them.
Yeah.
Because they're hunting snipe, which doesn't exist.
Right.
So you tell them what to look for, you set them off hunting it, and then you just ditch them. Yeah. And it's a joke. It's just fun. So it's kind of like looking for an invisible thing that doesn't exist. And that's kind of what he was probably teasing at with the name of the album, is he's sending his fans on a hunt for something that is not going to be there.
But they think it's going to be there.
But they think it's going to be there.
Based on the clues.
So let me talk about something else that is somewhat bothering me from his fan base when they talk about this record. There's a lot of people that's like, oh, this is a comedy record. Oh, this is a funny, this is just a comedy album. This isn't real Tyler Childers. These are comedy songs. I thoroughly disagree with the notion that this is a comedy record because he has lyrics that are funny. Like, I view this album as the school of John Prine for writing clever lyrics that have a turn that can make you chuckle or make you think.
Absolutely.
Either way.
Yeah.
But they're interesting.
Yes.
It's not that they're comedy. It's that they're clever.
Yeah.
And I don't think some people understand that.
Between the cleverness and comedy.
It seems like they've been spoon-fed a lot of country artists that sing songs that are so straightforward without, you know, the dirt road, big truck, that nonsense.
Yeah.
That they don't understand what clever lyrics sound like. And when they hear it, they're like, oh, it's just a joke.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's about turning something and looking at it from a different angle.
Well, that's the beauty about a lot of Prine songs, that cleverness that made you stop and think a little bit.
Yeah.
And after you've heard the song, you know, you're still thinking down the road like, man, what was that?
Yeah, like a lot of the songs on there remind me of the typical John Prine of American Flag, Decal, Won't Get You Into Heaven Anymore, that sort of thing.
Yep.
where he's singing about real stuff, but turning it to make it clever and make it fun. It's fun when it's clever. It doesn't have to be dark.
And that's the thing with this album and these songs. It's like there's layers, because every time I listen to it, I'm discovering something new.
So many layers.
Something else is sinking in. Lyrics I hadn't heard right off the bat because I'm just listening to it in the store or, you know, in the car or something. But when you stop and listen to it, you're like, oh, all right.
Lyrically, it may be one of the best albums I've heard in a long time.
Yeah.
He really thought about a lot of these lyrics that he put in there. You know, like we were talking earlier, there's that song Poachers, where it starts, you know, he starts the song talking like a poacher who's killed something out of season and kind of going about leaving it out in the woods, not getting back to it as quick as he should. And then as the song progresses, he keeps talking about some old boy he'd heard about singing about gay coal miners and seen your video about your gay coal. Like, he goes into this whole thing of a caricature of the South and of Southern Kentucky and of the people that don't understand what it's like to think outside of the box.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of lyrical stuff in there that's like that, where he's not poking fun at those people. He's just shining a light on it. Like, what exactly is wrong with that? And like, what's your problem with it? Why are you so upset about it? Which goes to the notion of, why are his fans upset with this album? Like, what is it about this album that's making some of them upset?
Because honestly, it's kind of a classic Tyler album.
It's just produced different.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people struggle with the vocal production, and I can understand that, because there is a lot of effects on his vocals throughout the record. And if you don't like that, I can understand what you're talking about. But like, if we use Onita, for example, I've heard his versions of Onita from the past, and I've heard the one on the album, and I so prefer the one on the album because it adds in all of this beautiful, spacey steel guitar. It adds in all of these textures that make that song so much more lush than it's ever been.
And that's Ruben.
It's Ruben. And I got to think that's what Tyler wanted as well. I got to think that's the reason he's never recorded it for an album yet, because he wasn't getting whatever sound he wanted.
Happy with, the sound in his head hasn't been able to be put down.
And I mean, then you get to songs like, there's the one song about the Bhagavad Gita. He's going into his Middle Eastern learnings where he really wants to go to India, but he's not sure if he's pronouncing the names right.
Yeah.
Like, that's a great John Prine kind of tune.
That's a very Prine tune.
Where, you know, he's really just singing about something that he's interested in.
Yeah.
And he's doing it in a very talk sing way, where he's singing and writing lyrics in a very conversational way. Yeah. Like, because he's even having a conversation with the listener in that song. There's the great part where he's like, I'm not going to talk to you about this because it'll take forever. Like I was saying, it's going to take forever, and then it might still take forever. Like, he keeps rambling that and keeps making it longer and drawing it out, which is it's just the John Prine school of songwriting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I love it, because I don't think enough people draw from that well and use that conversational style of songwriting.
Yeah.
Lyrically.
True.
Yeah. We miss that in country
and it's
America,
an art, too.
It is.
I mean, not everybody can do that.
It's a muscle. It's a muscle that you have to work at.
Yeah.
Unless you're John Prine, because he was kind of born with it. Like, that's just...
Yeah.
Innately, that's how he wrote music. But if you don't have that... And so at one point in time, I thought Jason Isbell might be starting to crack some of that code. But as the years have went on... I don't think Isbell has it. I would take Tyler's lyrics.
Still out.
I would take Tyler's lyrics on this album over just about any Isbell lyrics, maybe other than Cover Me Up, that I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Because these are just...
Here comes the hate mail.
I can't help it. I mean, I can't help it. These are just... I think these lyrics are so, so good.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's probably a personal thing with me as well. Like, I have to look at my own bias on that. I like weird music. I like music that is not very
traditional.
You
like to be challenged.
I do.
Yeah.
I just put on the Residents album at the shop before I left.
And the store cleared.
Well, there was no one in there when I put it on.
And
no one came in to ask for it. But, you know, I like stuff that sounds different, that I've never heard before.
Sure. Yeah.
And you and I listen to so much music that it's easy to get into a trap of just hearing the same thing.
Totally. Or playing the same thing, or you get that tunnel vision in your album collection.
And this is one that I think I don't have any other albums that sound like this album. Like,
yeah.
I've listened to this thing start to finish probably 10 times now. And that's crazy for me because I went into it. We had a conversation. Here's the inside baseball. We had conversations early on where you're like, how many copies should we get for the store? And I was like, I don't know. Is anybody still buying Tyler Childers? And you're like, dude, everybody's still buying Tyler Childers.
Yeah.
I was like, well, it was so far out of my purview and out of my brain of like, well, he's just that. He's that country guy, and I get it.
And what we've reordered it like every day this week just to try and stay ahead of the curve.
Yeah, I was totally judging this with my own bias and not being open to it the way I should have been.
I think what we're saying is we really love this album.
Yeah, what we've talked about for the last 25 minutes is how much we love this
album.
Give me your tracks you go back to.
I mean, honestly, Eating Big Time
is a Stone Cold classic.
Great way. Like, when the needle is dropped and that song comes on, it's the first song on the album, you're off and running.
You get the Waylon Jennings guitar tone.
Yep.
You get that phaser on the guitar. It sounds like classic country until he starts cursing so much. And then it just like goes to the next level.
Right.
I love it so much.
I mean, obviously, Bite and List. I mean, come on.
Bite and List.
Lyrics.
Which had So had you ever heard anyone talk about that term Bite and List before?
No.
I got to looking online and apparently that's in some regions people have heard that term before about like somebody being on your Bite and List. First time for me.
I mean, it makes sense.
It does. I guess, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Like if you ever get rabies, if I ever get rabies, you're going to the top of my Bite and List. What a great lyric.
John Prine.
What's also great about it is the song, when it first comes on, is like a traditional country foot stomp and sing-along tune.
And then you listen to the lyrics.
And then the lyrics hit.
You're like, what?
And then he says, motherfucker, I'm coming for you. Like when he puts that out there. And then the end of the song just goes absolute batshit with everybody barking and snarling. Like they've all contracted rabies.
Can you imagine recording that in the studio? Like
it had to be the most fun ever.
They had to freaking love it. I'm sure.
Well, Tyler loves it live. Like if you watch videos of him singing it live, he goes apeshit at the end of that song.
Yeah.
And he wants the audience participation as well. Like he wants, you know, the Cave City show. He told everybody to look up at the dinosaur and give their best roar at the T-Rex behind him. Yeah. Like that was all part of, like he loves that. That's his thing. I think that's how he has the best time, is getting everybody to act stupid and fun and silly together.
Yep.
Which
why
is,
not?
Why not?
Why not?
I want to point out one of the weirdest songs on here and talk about it for a second. Down Under.
Yeah.
Down Under, I've had a hard time trying to get my head around what in the hell that's even, what's going on in it, because he's talking about koalas. And he's talking about, I get his lyric about Down Under being, taking a day, and because I'm sure he's talking about traveling and, you know, Australia being on a different time zone and things like that. Yeah. But like, I don't really fully understand. Maybe that was just a song that he thought was fun and sounded good.
Yeah.
Musically, it's very standout from the rest of the album because it doesn't have a country feel to it.
No.
It sounds very pop, very just almost psychedelic a little bit. Very strange.
That's true. Yeah.
But I like it now that I've listened to it a few more times. I didn't care for it off the... And maybe that's another thing to talk about with this album. It takes a few listens.
It does. It really does. And that's the beauty of a great album, too. The more you listen to it, the more you find out, the more that it sinks in.
Like, I've been through it 10 times. And you've probably been through it that many.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You've played it a lot in the store.
We have. Yeah. Yeah, it's by far... our bestseller this year.
Easily. And we're thinking it might be our bestseller of the whole year. Who knows? I mean, it's sold a lot. Also, I was like, let's talk about the variants a little bit while we're at it. Because there was the liquid-filled variant that Pops Resale in Lexington had. I think they got maybe 50 or 100 of those. and you had to line up to get them. It's kind of neat. Yeah. It was like a reddish liquid, kind of like blood, I guess, maybe.
$250
Yeah, I think that was the retail on it when you bought it, which is kind of wild. But liquid-filled albums go for a lot of money.
They do.
The variant we've got that we both have is the Indie Store exclusive, which is the Oriole. I think they call it Oriole
colored. Yes, yeah.
And it's like a reddish, orangish kind of flamey thing. A little black in there, too.
Yeah. This is the web exclusive.
Oh, you've got the web exclusive. Yeah. So you've got the full red. This is the red,
I guess, red smoke, maybe.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen the web exclusive yet. And
there you go.
I'm not sure. There probably was some other variants that were missing. I'm sure maybe a couple other stores had them. But the only three that I remember is maybe like the web, the indie, and then the liquid filled.
And we will say that the indie is, it's we almost, have copies.
Yeah, but it's once almost
they're
gone.
They're gone. At this point, it has been
sold
out.
Yeah, and it. And people are still buying it like hotcakes.
I mean, just, as they should.
As they should.
This is a great example of how a new release should be. You know, some new releases, you get them on Friday, you sell five copies, whatever, and then it has no legs after that. This one has been running all week.
Well, and you know, let's put this into like a historical new release kind of perspective. So back in the day, you know, guys, when they would have new releases, there would be pop-ups and there would be things like that happening. Like, do you feel like Tyler's tapping into that a little bit of what it was like to old school promote an album?
Yeah, definitely.
Where you would just do random little events and get people excited and talking about it, and then they start buying it.
Like, it was a cool move, obviously, to do a listening party for it.
Yes.
You know, and that was one you had to sign up, and there was a cap for it. But I could also now see it should have been like a midnight release. Bring the midnight release back for it, you know.
Like, get like
very few artists can pull that off.
That's very true. You know? Have like a fake rabies shot or something you get at midnight or something like that. There's so many things you could do to
Man, no jab for me.
no jab for me, man. But there's like so many cool things that you could do to promote it. Like,
because
it's a fun album to begin with. So there's so many.
Oh, man.
Like, you could hide the snipe sign in the store somewhere, and whoever finds it gets XYZ.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what I think of with. Of course, I wasn't around back in the day to work at a record store, but I feel like that's some of the magic of what record stores used to be like when a band was, you know, Metallica or somebody was dropping a new album and people would like lose their mind over it and want to line up for it and want to see all these random events that would happen. Like, there was just so much of a buzz around it that we miss a little bit now because of streaming and whatnot.
Yeah. I mean, that's killed a certain amount of that.
But doing like what he does brings a little of that magic back into play.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I've also really enjoyed about this record is that it's brought some of the excitement back into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's brought excitement back into music.
It has. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
For us locally, especially.
Yeah.
I mean, Cave City, having Tyler Childers, that was insane. That was absolutely set up next to the interstate beside a giant dinosaur. Like, it didn't get any better than that.
It doesn't, no.
So anything else to add about this record?
Go buy it.
Yeah, go buy it. You'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
Listen to it two or three times.
Yeah. It's probably about a 7.5 or an 8 right now for me.
Out of 10. Yeah, I would say I would give it an 8 out of 10 for me easily.
And definitely definitely in the ring for album of the year, I'd say.
Yeah. And also, if you're local to us, make sure and try to get tickets to go see him in Nashville if they're still available.
Yeah, they are.
He's playing the soccer park Geodis. Down there. Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, go down there and see him. It's going to be a great show.
Yeah.
It's going to be fantastic. His band is amazing.
I might go. I haven't bought tickets. Why not? I didn't really think much about it.
I didn't either. Isn't that funny?
Like, but I'd love to hear some of this stuff live.
It was like off of both of our radars until it came out, and now we both really enjoy it. I love when an album does that. That's like the best
feeling. Power of music.
And I hope he keeps down this track, too. I hope he keeps trying to experiment and do new things and like find new sounds.
Yeah.
Maybe some new meta-modern sounds and country music, right?
A prog country music album.
I mean, if anybody was going to do it, Tyler could probably do it. He could probably knock a prog album out.
Yeah.
Somebody stuck in a coal mine and seeing visions of, you know, too many fumes hitting your canary dies. You start seeing visions. I mean, he's feel free to steal that one, Tyler, if you're listening.
Yeah, right.
I know he's not, but I mean, feel free. If anybody knows him, he can give him that idea. But this has been the Vinyl Crawl. Go out and buy that record. You'll love it. Buy this beer too, Immortal Bloom. It's good. If you see it on tap somewhere, get it.
Just go to a record store.